Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cult I Left Behind podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Briggs, and I'm here to tell you my stories of growing up in the IBLP cult, which you might know from the Duggar family.
And I'm your other host, Kyle Briggs. I am Amanda's husband, and I have not heard most of these stories before, so stay tuned and we'll all get traumatized together. All right, welcome back to the next episode. What do you have for us tonight, Amanda?
Tonight, I figured we would talk about Bill Gothard's views on adoption.
Oh, I'm sure he had quite a horrible view on adoption.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
What kind of crazy stuff did he think about with adoption?
Well, I tried to find Care Bulletin number 5, medical care.
Medical care, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Adoption falls under medical information. As it turns out, I have scoured the interwebs and I could not find Care Bulletin number 5. So if you have access to Care Bulletin number 5, I would not love to see it because, but it would be helpful.
Right.
So I'm going to have to go a lot off of memory and a lot off of what I found on blogs and Reddit and stuff people shared from their memories. And basically, in a shocking turn of events, Bill took a lot of biblical text out of context.
No,
he would never.
Never. Well, I think that's okay because I think a lot of this is around your memories of growing up in the cult and other people's memories. And I think when you're in an environment like that, you can read, you know, what their scripture is about that or what their policies are on something. And then what actually happened can sometimes be different. So I don't think it's a bad thing to get someone's, you know, how they remember.
No, that's true. Something. What do you know about the sins of the father, Kyle?
Can only guess.
Do you remember that part of the Bible?
I think
it's from somewhere in the Old Testament, and it talks about God visiting the sins of the fathers upon their children for generations, which, by the by, is what I used to pray about while I was being raped, because I knew my brother was sinning, so I prayed for his kids, and that, I would pray that God wouldn't visit his sins on his kids.
It's still fascinating to me, and I think a testament to your character that, like, when that stuff was happening, that you were thinking of someone else. I mean, I haven't been in that situation, so I don't know what I would be thinking, but, like, it's, you repeatedly say that, like, when this was happening, like, I was worried about Andy, or I was worried about his future kids, or your other siblings.
Yeah, without getting too graphic, I had a lot of time to think, you know, because it happened a lot and they weren't short abuse sessions.
Yeah.
They were usually pretty drawn out.
So what is this sins of the father in relation to adoption?
So here's the problem, Kyle.
Oh, jeez.
With adopting. You are adopting their genetic line's sins right along with them.
And
you're bringing that into your household. And now if there's satanic influence in the genetic line of your adopted child, that satanic influence comes into your home and impacts your biological children. Because, by the by, you really should have biological children if you're going to adopt, because biological children are a sign from God that you should have children. And if you don't have children, you shouldn't adopt, because if God hasn't blessed you with children and has made you infertile, it means God doesn't think you're, like, good enough to be a parent.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah. So you shouldn't then adopt. And also, ATI families, so any IBLP-affiliated family enrolled in the ATI homeschooling program, had to talk to headquarters staff before, like, ATI staff, before they could pursue adoption.
So they had to, like, get written or some sort of approval from
Yes, but this was very normal. Like, you had to do that if you wanted to court someone if you worked at headquarters, too. Like, really? And Bill would say no all the time. I think I've mentioned that in the past.
He literally gave his personal approval. Like, when you say that, I just assumed there was, like, a committee or, like...
No, it was like Bill personally would or would not approve you courting.
That's a lot of... I don't know that
to power me, and control because he's well. A fucking there's narcissist. That,
but like that's a time consuming to manage the oh, personal.
Trust me, he loved it.
I guess.
Well, Kyle, you got to exert power and control over people. It's every predator's dream.
That, I mean, that makes sense.
He was living his best life as a predator.
Living his best life by being involved in everybody's business. That sounds like a nightmare. I mean,
we've joked about
to me.
Having. An episode called No Sex on Saturdays because I cannot find it in IBLP literature. But hey, former IBLP listeners, help me out here. I could almost swear that as a kid, I accidentally stumbled across some IBLP literature that said you couldn't have sex on Saturday night because it would distract you from the church message Sunday morning. But I can't find it. So we can't have an episode called No Sex on Saturdays. Until or unless we find evidence.
I was really excited about that when you were brainstorming ideas. So we'll definitely have to do a little more research to see if we can pull that out of the hat.
Yeah. So all that to say, that's how involved Bill was. Again, he dictated when married people could have sex. That's... You know, if the Saturday thing is correct, definitely around the woman's menstrual cycle. Like the dude was just overly involved. Mm-hmm. In every decision. So, headquarters staff being involved in your decision to adopt a child is actually quite tame, all things considered.
Yeah, I guess. The whole thing is not tame.
So, Kyle, under IBLP ideology, because I cannot have children, that means that God doesn't think we should be parents.
Oh. Well, good thing I don't believe that. That's such a weird belief system to have, and I don't understand why, like, where that would even come from. Did they just have like an inherent, or did Bill have like an inherent belief that like your health was that tied to your holiness that if
yes.
you physically couldn't have children, then there was some sin going on there, or? Just
unworthiness
destiny.
Or God had a different calling on your life. Well, could God have a different calling on your life, Kyle, other than being fruitful and multiplying?
I don't think
it was more like cult. Judgment and condemnation, because that's way more on brand for IBLP. But he also advocated for getting rid of your adopted children.
Really?
Yeah. You were supposed to send them away if they... weren't working out.
So only if they were being bad, you were supposed to send them away.
Or if bad things were happening to the family.
Oh, okay.
That was a sign that you weren't, like, you shouldn't have adopted that kid. So and he had two stories, you know, he had two pieces of anecdotal evidence. That's what I'm trying to say. Stories of families who returned their adopted kids and suddenly God blessed them with health and wealth. Like literally he talked about financial windfalls and restoration of peace in the home and all this stuff. Okay. Can we just talk about the fact that if you are adopting a child, there is trauma inherent in that child's life, even if they're a child and they don't know that their parents died, or they're a child and they don't know that they're, you know, being adopted for myriad reasons, whatever. There's some sort of trauma that occurs for a child to need to be re-familied.
Right.
I'm making up a new phrase. You heard it here first, folks. And traumatized kids are not going to be little angels. They're gonna have moments where they act out horribly. And if you don't expect that, then I would say you're pretty naive. Or at least not educated around trauma and how it manifests, even if there's a delayed manifestation. Like, you can't just expect to adopt a kid and it's all going to be perfect and you're all going to live happily ever after.
The thing I'm surprised about with that is this whole, you know, the whole quiver full of arrows. So you've got a kid. So maybe you adopted them instead of a natural biological child.
Sin.
But like, that's one more IBLP kid. So.
But they're just not worthy enough.
I guess. I mean, that's the level of hatred he must have had for adopted kids. Or
well, he said that they remember that the how sins- it started with institute and basic youth conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read it and I didn't even try to find it. But there was a quote from Bill from some other thing he published that said, adopted kids are going to have more conflict.
Mm.
And we don't want conflict, Kyle.
No, you want blind followers.
And perfection, because remember, perfection is reasonable. So I saw a YouTube video of two pastors having a conversation about Bill Gothard's adoption policies. And the guy claimed that Bill said adopted kids were monsters.
So yeah, is this another instance where Bill just is making stuff up based off of like one incident of something happening? He's like, here's the example. It happened one time. So that
twice, Kyle, like, he had two examples.
Oh, pardon me.
He had two examples that he put in basic care bulletin number 5.
Apparently he missed his statistics class then.
Apparently. Well, you know, he probably got his PhD while he was asleep since he believes in that. That's so true. You know,
that's true.
I think he does have doctor. But it could be of his own making.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what I should do. Instead of going through 4 to 5 years of rigorous academic undertaking, I could just say I'm Amanda Briggs, PhD. I got it in my sleep, folks, by meditating on scripture.
Please don't start playing that at night. So, I mean,
I like school too much. I'm surprised they even made that joke. I like school too much.
So at this point, like, he's like, you're going to bring in the sins of the father, but it's like, I'd be more afraid of the fathers that were in the cult than
the potential of some other dude. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Of course, I'm sure he didn't see it that way, but.
No.
I'm just like.
Anyone would be blessed,
right,
Kyle, to be part of ATI as a child.
Of course.
We're all just blessed and righteous. I mean, that's all I get messages about. Hey, Amanda, I grew up in IBLP too, and I loved it. And I'm so thrilled that was the life path from my childhood and that my parents made those decisions, and I have zero trauma. I get hundreds of those messages, Kyle.
Oh, I'm sure.
That was like complete sarcasm.
Oh, I know.
For anyone new who hasn't listened to the backlog of episodes, if you started with this one, that was all sarcasm. I get messages constantly from folks who grew up in repressive environments or IBLP. Just, yeah, not good. It wasn't good. We did not have fun.
No. The cult has not really persisted to this day. So it's not like it continued growing because it was so great.
Yeah, one of the folks on Reddit was talking about how, like, if you adopt without having biological children, you know, horrible, horrible, bad. But if you had children and you adopt, then you were wonderful and God was blessing you. Unless you brought in the sins of the fathers. This is very complicated. Like, again, with the contradictory shit of, like, the quiverful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think the cult also taught the whole adoption theological concept, like, we're adopted spiritually, sonship, God, Jesus. So that's okay, but adopting kids into your biological family system is not. And Bill apparently said that, like, adoption is some modern construct that, like, I don't know, wasn't part of God's plan or something.
I mean, how is it any different than if that some other family decides they want to join the cult? And now that kid and the father are now part of the cult. And, like, how would that be any different than some other cult family adopting, you know, said kid? And I'm just making up a name so that I could be clear. Like, they adopt Ryan. How is that different than Ryan's family joining the cult?
Don't bring your logic into this.
Like, I don't understand. It's so, I mean, I say this all the time. Like, I just don't understand it. His logic is flawed, and there's no seemingly no way to reason it.
Okay, apparently in Care Bulletin 5, you're not supposed to adopt instead of choosing to have natural children. So if you can have natural children, you must.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would make sense if that's their belief system.
What if you cannot financially support more than two kids?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to adopt two kids and give them a wonderful life. So you choose to adopt the two kids and forego having biological children. Guess what, Kyle? You're unholy, according to Bill.
Well, there's a lot of things Bill says that will make you unholy or cause you to be unholy, or I feel like Bill just makes up stuff to just force you to do what he wants you to do, and it's unholy if you don't do that.
But what does Bill have to gain?
I don't understand. I mean,
a lot of his other stuff is like grooming, so his power mm-hmm. and control stuff, like it's horrible, but you can see the logic from a predatory perspective. What's the fucking point of this one? What is he
gain? The same thing.
Wait, how?
I think it's the same thing in the sense that by nature of him creating a situation and saying, this is what I want to do, or this is what I believe we should do, and in forcing you to also do it by saying, do this because it's holy and the opposite is unholy, he's controlling you. He's controlling your decision-making process by way of recruiting people.
So maybe it wasn't even about adoption or not adoption. It was just another thing he found that he could use to exert control over people.
It could be. But I also fully believe he probably thought that, like, oh, this outside person that's not in the cult, like, they've got all these sins, and if you adopt some kid from outside the cult, you're...
You know, every time, like, it just always comes back to, the dude was fucking raping minors, you know, while teaching all of this. So, I don't ever think it was about the religion. For him.
No.
I don't think he believed his own teachings.
No, I think he just latched onto the Bible and or Christianity, and since there was already a pool of people that believe everything in that book, and he could take those words, they mm-hmm. have power over people, the Bible does.
That's true.
And so by distorting or twisting around the words that are in there, it's easy to manipulate those people. Mm-hmm. Like that's his end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least that's how I see it.
Yeah. And going back to like episode 2, where we talked about his brothers, it wasn't like he was this one bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in his family, or almost everyone in his family, at least all of his brothers, were like super shady.
Yeah. And I mean, he was condoning that behavior.
Yeah, that's true.
And based on the multitude of comments and messages we've gotten from people, they've experienced similar things of sexual harassment or being raped as minors mm-hmm. In the cult, and usually within their family system.
Yeah. So it's probably a good thing no one got adopted. Well, or very few people got adopted into the cult. Like, I'm very pro-adoption. Mm-hmm. I am. But
you're just
being adopted into a cult might not be the best outcome
yes.
for a child.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you remember there being any adopted kids? Like,
no.
Do you remember there being like a stigma about that? Like within... kind of just your personal relationships or with other families that were in the cult. Do you remember that
again,
being
like a...
I didn't
really have friends.
Yeah.
Do I know anyone who ever even talked about adoption?
Was it just that taboo that it wasn't even a thing?
Well, the other thing was people had so many freaking kids and so many mouths to feed. I don't think they could afford to bring
no,
on
of course.
Other kids.
I guess maybe a different or a better question would be, do you remember there being... like women in the cult that like couldn't actually have children, or they had very few children and didn't have the option of adoption.
Remember the guy who tried to do the whole Melaleuca MLM thing? He and his wife didn't have kids. And I don't think I ever heard them talk about adoption. And we spent a lot of time with them. I could be wrong. I was a kid, so I wasn't, you know, always around them when they were over at our house. But most of the time we had to like sit there and be good, you know?
Eavesdrop a little bit.
I don't ever remember them talking about adoption. I don't know why they couldn't have kids. Trying to think if there's anyone else. I think everyone else we knew had gobs of children.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. It sounds like most cult families are large families and didn't have any issues with reproductive systems.
No, I don't remember meeting anyone who was adopted. So interestingly, I don't think that that was something I really knew about as a kid. I don't think I was tracking the whole anti-adoption thing. I started considering the possibility of someday adopting when I was probably in my mid-teens. And I think I was kind of vocal about it, at least within my family. And I think that's when I found out about sins of the fathers and stuff. I don't think I was ever like discouraged from it as much as Rick was like, well, you know, the sins of the fathers can enter your family system through the kids. So you just have to be really wise. Blah, blah. I think that's when I actually found out about it.
I mean, hearing you talk about it, it sounds like it was a kind of a shadow rule. It was just like, we don't really preach it, but if you like start bringing that up, or if you have like fertility issues, oh, now like we got a rule for that. We're going to pull this out of the backlog and shame you for it and say it's unholy and then like crucify you. And then once you're beat down and give up on that, then like we'll go back to like pretending that never happened.
And I don't know if it was ever that violent in the, I found like one tiny little excerpt from the Care Bulletin 5, again, medical, and it said something about how like the intro to the bulletin was something along the lines of like, you have to have great wisdom and discernment when deciding on adoption. And it was worded in a way where it wasn't like, this is a hard and fast rule, but also you have to talk to someone in, you know, on the ATI staff if you're even thinking about it.
I can imagine how those conversations went.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that influence your view on adoption now?
I don't give a flying fuck what Bill thinks.
So you've completely like,
oh yeah, that got left behind. I don't think that was even something I ever like picked up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm very pro adoption. So.
Well, that's good that didn't, you know, seep down into the deep crevices of your,
I think people
thought processes
should be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can give a kid a safe, loving home, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Even if the kid is traumatized and struggles. So, no, Bill can go kick rocks.
I mean, there's so many situations in which that may happen unintentionally. Like what would happen to, you know, if there was a cult family and the mother and father get killed in a car accident or something like that, like what happens then? Is that just something that never happened and he didn't have to think of a solution to that?
That's really interesting. But I can tell you like from how the state handles that kind of stuff. So I know a lot of folks are always so scared that kids are going to get like ripped away and go into foster care and like, you know, and that does happen. Kids go into foster care. But most states are all about reunification. So if they can't get the kid back with their biological parent, they'll try to get the kid with a biological relative who's safe and stable. That's why you see a lot of grandparents adopting grandkids. That's why you see, you know, brothers and sisters taking in their, so in that case, their nieces and nephews and stuff like that. So everyone freaks out that, you know, kids are just going to be ripped asunder, but there's most states want kids with their biological family mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. So they really try to do that. And in my opinion, some judges are far too lenient and give really abusive parents way too many chances, and those parents end up harming their children. But that's another topic for another day, and I digress for the moment. But I guess, yeah, like if there were a situation where both parents were unexpectedly killed, then just the way the system works, they'd try to get them with biological relatives.
Yeah, I mean, just in the...
So the sins of their fathers would at least stay in the lineage, Kyle.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, any of these things that are rules in the cult, I feel like there's a situation in which you could flip that around and be like, what now, Bill? Like,
that reminds me.
These are cult kids and their cult parents died. And you're saying, okay, well, sorry, there's no adoption. That's not, you know, that's unholy. So it's just like, does he want those kids to just raise themselves? Like, the 7-year-old just better figure his shit out. Like, you're not getting adopted. We don't do that.
I am so distracted right now because you said, what now, Bill? And I like flashed back so hard to the military. They had this series called What Now, Lieutenant? for new officers. And they were the dumbest videos. They were supposed to like role play difficult scenarios that you might face in your military career. And it was like really poorly done, super corny, but like uber dramatic. And then it would always end the scenario with, what now, Lieutenant? And I'm imagining that thing, but the cult.
Oh, jeez.
And now that's stuck in my head, Kyle. Thank you. So what was the question?
I mean, I was still just talking about the fact that, you know, he says adoption's unholy. And if you end up in a situation where there's orphaned kids, would he say, okay, well, some other cult family needs to adopt them, and now that's okay because they're cult kids?
I don't know.
Or is it just leave them to die? They don't have parents.
Who knows?
Now I'm going to have to like go Google this and figure
it out. If you guys know the answer to this, please message us. Kyle would really like to know. I don't include myself in that because while I will read it because I do read our messages, I also, like, don't care because it was a Bill thing.
Yes.
So
I imagine there's a lot of different, you know, it's still curious to me. And for you, you're just like, I don't want to know any more than I already know.
Oh, man. And if you were adopted by someone in the cult and you feel like that's something you could share about on our platform, we'd probably love to interview on the podcast, too. That could be interesting.
Oh, I mean, like I said, it's a very interesting scenario when you ostracize people for adoption and then you end up in a situation where that's necessary.
And the other hilarious part of this is like, don't adopt, don't give kids who need a good home, but oh, hey, if you had a tubal ligation or a vasectomy, get that undone and make more babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, if you just step back and look at this from a Christianity perspective, it's just like, so
doesn't the Bible literally say to like take care of the widows and the fatherless?
Yeah, so it's like, now where's your argument? Like, how are you creating this argument when there's other Bible verses that
again,
are like,
Kyle, don't bring your logic into this.
It's hard not to bring logic into these situations. Like, it's just kind of hearing all of his asinine ideas, I just naturally want to like try to pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll never get those answers.
I don't think so, because at the end of the day, it's a cult and it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And cults aren't set up to make sense. They're set up to be just confusing enough that you think you're the problem the whole time, so you continue to blindly follow. And that, folks, might be the most profound thing you ever hear on this podcast.
So he says, or Bill says, don't adopt kids because you'll bring in the sins of the father into your family. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the sins of the mother? Is that it?
Kyle, it's a woman. It doesn't count. Like, you keep forgetting that women don't count. They don't matter. Like, I mean, I love you because you are like, well, what about women? But also, Kyle, it's a woman. It doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Does she even exist? Only for procreation purposes.
I guess she has no impact on that child. Nope. Biologically or not, or mentally or spiritually or anything. Just no.
No, she left no mark on that kid. She's just a vessel to make the babies.
Okay.
That's her whole point in life. All right.
Well, good to know we're back to, you know.
Misogyny, patriarchy.
Yes. Same old, same old.
Yep. I think I saw something else. Oh, man. It was like a comment somewhere. Someone said that they were adopted and IBLP was no longer a good fit for their family after that, so they left. But I think there are people out there who have those experiences with IBLP. Like, they were adopted by a cult family. That didn't go over really well. Mm-hmm. The family left the cult. So,
I mean, that's not a bad thing, I guess. If at the end of the day, they ended up leaving the cult, it was probably for the best. Well, it definitely was for the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting, I guess, theory or practice on his part, on Bill's part. I'd definitely be curious to talk to somebody that was either, you know, a part of a family in the cult that adopted or was adopted into the cult. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, being adopted into the cult, that would be.
Can you imagine if you were a little bit older and you were a girl and you like got adopted into a mega repressive environment and you were used to being able to wear like tank tops and shorts and now you have to wear turtlenecks and skirts?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it would have been a shock for anybody.
Yeah.
Like it sounds. The culture in the cult, and even when those within the specific family systems is so, I feel like, drastically different than normal, in air quotes, normal families, that it would have been, I mean, the kid would have definitely acted out because they would have lost a lot of privileges they probably had before and freedoms.
Maybe that's why the two stories Bill told. Maybe that's what was wrong with the kids. They were being reasonable about oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that, Kyle.
No. You can't have anything.
No. You know, rights, schmites. You ain't got no rights. I don't know how many times Rick said that to me growing up.
Really?
Yeah. You've never heard that?
I don't think I've heard you say that before.
Oh, yeah. Rights, schmites. You ain't got no rights. That was like a daily thing that was said in my home. That's not normal. Parents don't say that.
I'm sure they do say something to that extent of just like, I'm the, you know, you're doing what I say because I'm the adult, or like,
because
I said so is usually but how it's it came different. Out.
Well, like, think of that. Because I said so is, you know, it's whatever. It's a response parents finally get to when they're sick of why.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tell someone they don't have rights, which is not true, you do have rights as a human. Can you see how that sets people up for abuse? Like abusive relationships, staying in toxic relationships, staying in toxic work environments, staying in the cult. Like,
oh, especially from your father telling you that as a girl child.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That would mess you up after a lifetime or, you know, 18 years or however many years. Until you marry, being told, like, you do what I tell you because you have no autonomy.
You don't even have, you know, the right to your own privacy and bodily autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think after all that, we can officially say that Bill Gothard had some pretty fucked up ideas on adoption, and they don't make any sense at all, which tracks with everything else about the IBLP cult.
Yeah.
And his crazy ideas.
Yeah.
That are like Swiss cheese with holes in them.
Yes.
So.
I like it. Some housekeeping. I am trying to get caught up on messages, But I don't know. So everyone who sent in messages through the website, I am caught up to, let me see if I can find the date. But I guess I'm bringing this up because I don't know if it's going to people's spam folders. So if you have sent us a message like through the website, I am caught up through, let me find a calendar. I am caught up through April 29th. So if you sent us a message before April 29th and you haven't seen an answer, check your spam. Okay. And then everyone else, thank you for your patience. I'm still sorting through all of our social media messages and comments. Also, today is May the 4th. So you won't hear this for a few more days, but May the 4th be with you because that's very important. What other? Oh, we've had some fans respond to our question about how you would like to build community. And we really appreciate that. Thank you. Please continue to send in your ideas. We want to see which ideas are most popular with our listener base. So we've had folks say closed Facebook groups, Discord. What are some of the other ones? Like there was a fan wiki or something. There's been some interest in a monthly newsletter. So yeah, please get your votes in because I'm a researcher, guys. I need the data. I must have data. So please give me something I can make a beautiful pie chart out of. Yes. I'll post it.
She's not lying about that.
I'm like, just sitting here. I probably have like stars and hearts coming out of my eyes because I'm talking about data. What else?
I think the only thing only other thing I would say is we're we're in a transition period right now, so we are doing our best to at least make sure the episodes are still coming out. Those will be coming out every Monday, but the replies and the posts and the social media stuff, you've probably seen it tick down a little bit because we are busy with some home stuff and obviously getting ready for Amanda to go back to get her PhD, go back to university and get her PhD. So lots of changes happening, but we're going to keep chugging along and we'll pick back up for sure once we get moved and
life settles get through out all of that.
And we are thankful one of our listeners is now our realtor and has hooked us up and we are
We love you.
Thanks, Stacy. We are moving your direction.
And also, you guys, I was researching some merch options, and there are temporary tattoos, which I think is just fabulous since the cult is so anti-tattoo. I have 3 tattoos, so fuck you, Bill. But I think we need temporary tattoos.
Okay.
I don't know. If I'm the only person who wants this, then I'll just get them for myself. Or maybe I'll get a permanent one. Who knows?
Oh, jeez.
But
I wouldn't put it past you either, though.
Tattoos. No, okay. That's a different talk for a different time.
Yes.
But if you like the idea of temporary tattoos, that's definitely something that I'm considering. Also, the eye trap clothing items. Yes, that say eye trap. Everywhere there's an eye trap.
Oh, geez.
Some folks have said they would, I think, wear the hell out of those was the quote. So that's something I'm still thinking about. I love coffee, so probably mugs will be somewhere in the future. Yeah. But if you have ideas for stuff that would be fun, please let us know because that's something we're thinking about doing eventually when life settles down just a little bit. But if you know me in real life and you see me walking around with like a million tattoos on my arms, I might just be testing out temporary tattoo designs. Just roll with it. It's fine. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. That's all the housekeeping for today and our episode on adoption. And we'll be back on Monday.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Cult I Left Behind.
Until next time, don't join a cult.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, share, and subscribe, and we will catch you on the next episode.